Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yep, so they tell you that throw a rock into the middle of a bunch of pigs, the one squeals is the one you hit. Got the pigs squealing today. I don't know if you guys saw that video I produced yesterday. Boy, we have got the pigs squealing, and it's all good. It's all good. You know, guys, we ought to all be fighting a little bit more like this. We ought to have a lot more pigs squealing around us. And for whatever reason, Christians in particular, Christians don't like to be hated. Even though Jesus said, you're going to be. He says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Account of me, rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great your reward. I got a lot of folks that hate me. A lot of them that love me. So praise the Lord. Here's what they told me, guys. You really want to measure who loves you? Ask this simple question. Are they going to cry at your funeral? So that's how I measure it. Rest of them, I don't care about. Hey, we are up today. First time trial broadcasting on the Global Star Radio Network. In other words, we have just extended the stakes on our tent. Global Star Radio Network is this same one that the Hagmans and Hagmans broadcast on. And actually, there really isn't even much of a, I don't want this to sound bad. There's not much programming at 7 a.m. For whatever reason, there isn't a whole lot of programming on the Global Star Radio Network at 7 o'clock a.m. So here we are. We're live and in color, and we're going to be here broadcasting off of this thing. No picture of me. Okay, there I came back in. I'm reading down below. So tell your friends. I'm going to try to get on Hagman and promote us a little bit. The Global Star Radio Network. I don't want to talk about politics. We're going to talk about Jezebel this morning because I got to get this one off of my plate because it's been hanging there for quite a while. And I think maybe once we do this little Bible study, we're going to have a better understanding of what's going on. I've never seen anything like where we are. It's almost, you know, the real key, the real power of the enemy has always been its unity. The body of Christ is not unified. We can say whatever we want to. We're not unified. That's why the scripture says that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. The body of Christ is not unified. Think about, just drive down the street and how many different churches you see in the town in which you live. And for the most part, the pastors probably don't even know each other. If they do, they maybe get together every once in a while and break some chicken bones and talk about whatever. But there's no common focus and no common purpose in the church. Somebody say amen so you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not saying it's intentional, but it just happens to be the way it is. It's like when we were, when we were going down to Hurricane Katrina the first time, I was kind of new at this ministry stuff. And I made some calls to try to get some supplies to go down, to take down the bread and that kind of stuff. I made some calls, and almost all of them said, well, listen, we've decided that we'll donate through our denomination. Well, I think, okay, I understand that. You guys are all on the same team, but I'm not on anybody's team. I'm just going to go down there. Could you throw $50 too so we can buy some bread and some gas, and we'll head down there? And then I had this happen to me. I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you before, but true story. We were doing some street ministry in Columbus, down in the homeless area. I don't know if you know this or not, but homeless people usually are homeless because they're on drugs. They're hooked on drugs or alcohol. They're PTSD, whatever. There are a lot of them out there, man. A lot of them. Some of them are hookers. Some of them are whatever. And we would go down there, and we'd do ministry work down there. And we were out doing one time, feeding them, and this lady pulls up in this nice, shiny new car, and she rolls down her window, and she yells, hey, sir, what are you guys doing down here? And I said, well, man, we're reaching out here to the homeless. We're feeding the homeless and buying them shoes here for the winter and gloves. We're just trying to show the love of Jesus to them. And she says, oh, that is so wonderful. I'll have to tell my pastor. Now, never entered her mind to reach in her pocket and give me $10 to help buy some of those gloves or some of that bread. Because, see, we're taught everything flows through the pastor. Everything flows through the church. Everything. Say, Coach, you really, man, you spend a lot of time banging on the pastors. Listen, I'm just trying to point out where our problem lies. Your pastor may be a good guy. He might be. He might be a really good guy, but he probably doesn't have a very good team. Probably if he has a team, it's totally and completely inward focused. See, Jesus said in Matthew, go ye into all the world. Go. And we've taken the gospel and we've said, come. You want to get saved? Come here. You want to be loved? Come here. You want to do ministry? Be in the praise team. You want to do ministry? Be an usher. Want to do ministry? Change the toilet paper in the bathrooms. You want to do ministry? It all has to be done here. But wait a minute. If you want to do some ministry, we're going to get let's do a missions trip to Guatemala. It's like a one-year event. And so that's happened, I think, because of lack of vision of the church leadership. So, Coach, I'm not... Football team ain't doing a job, it's the coach's fault. Churches aren't doing a job, it's the pastor's fault. And I think a lot of guys, individual pastors, are probably trying to do the best they can, but we find ourselves in the mess that we are in today because of the condition of the pastors. Really believe that. Hey, couple things. Now listen, we're having two boot camps. We're having the one in Milwaukee, Wisconsin next weekend. This stuff is all on our web homepage. Is that right, Jared or Sarge? Is that where it is? It's all at CoachDaveLive.com. It's all right there. We don't charge for the boot camps. You say, well, what goes on at these boot camps, Coach? Well, here's what's going to be. You only come. Let's talk about Wisconsin for a minute. You come to the Wisconsin boot camp, which is going to start at I believe we got it started at 7:00, and we're going to do a little bit of exhortation, a little bit of coaching on Friday night. And then we're going to take you to the streets on Saturday morning. We're probably going to go to the abortion clinic. And yeah, we'll probably hold signs and we'll probably hand out literature. It's what we're going to do. We believe in works. We believe works is a part of salvation. We'll do that in the morning. We'll come back, have us some lunch, and then we'll do a little bit more of training and debriefing and coaching. And then the whole thing's going to be over and it's free. It's free. What have you got to lose? As Donald Trump said to the black community, what do you got to lose? If you're anywhere close to Wisconsin next week in Milwaukee, come and be part of our boot camp. It's on our website. And then I would really encourage you to come to our boot camp here in Ohio, November 17th through the 20th. I know it's near Thanksgiving. I know that. A lot of things going on. And a lot of the guys that you see here in the queue are going to get here. You're going to, the reason I'm really pushing the one here in Ohio is because we want to try to eventually make this an annual get together of the team of the Army. 2 weeks from now, I'm sorry, Sarge, fix me up. 29th and 30th is when we go to Milwaukee. Come to the one in Ohio, and you can register for all of these. Listen, folks, please register so we know who's coming, so we can figure out some food and all that. We've rented a campground. I've rented a campground which has sleeping capability in this big building we've rented for. How many is it? 10 couples, something like that, in this room. It's free. It's going to be free. If you want to stay in a hotel, you can do that. I'll give you a place that you can call and pay $100 a night for a hotel if you want to. I can't afford, as you can imagine, I can't afford to do that. But come and be with us and fellowship with us. And we're going to go to the streets and we're going to live out the gospel. But more than anything, the guys who've been with us down in Louisiana, we're going to sit around after we're done at nights in this building, what they call this building, just a building with tables, and we're going to tell lies and we're going to encourage each other. And it's going to be great, great fellowship. I hear all the time from people out there who are so frustrated because they don't have any church family, They've dropped out of their church. Nobody understands them. And then I hear these emails, Coach, I can't believe what I found here on the huddle. Well, come and meet each other. Come and meet Larry, and come and meet Sarge, and come and meet Rich. Come and look these guys in the eye and know that these are real guys, and these are real friends that will, in fact, stick closer than a brother. That's November 17th through the 20th. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. Please register so we know we're coming, and we got plenty of rooms. Somebody want to say something? Was that you, Raj, popping in here?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I can bring my cigars.
Yes, you can bring your cigars, and you can pass one to everybody who wants one. Listen, we are a smoking area, so we don't fall into this political correctness that you're not allowed to smoke. If you want to smoke, you smoke between you and the Lord, and there ain't gonna be anybody that's gonna judge you for smoking your stogie if that's what you like to do. You'd be surprised. Some of the things I do in secret that people would say is sin. Yeah, hey, it's of the heart, right? Sin's in the heart, man. It's in the heart. I try to live a holy, righteous life, but I cheat every once in a while in golf. I do. I move the ball. Gets behind a tree. I move it. Sometimes I do that. That's probably not righteous. I don't know if the Lord's up there watching me cheat in golf.
You're a rebel.
I'm a rebel. So join us there. Excited about it. And I offered this book. I better not do it because I only got a few of them left. 70 weeks. I got about 10 of them left. If you're interested in having this book, going to make the whole end time thing make sense. Wow. 70 weeks. It tells you, remember in Daniel, we think that we had 69 weeks and now the 70th is in the future. You won't believe this. You won't believe that after you read this book. So you just got to email me and say, Coach, send me that book. I only got about 10 of them. Hey, we did hear from a few of you yesterday, joined the team. Appreciate that. And one more of you to jump on board with us. Cool. Anybody for the good of the group before we dive in here, both feet? Never seen anything like it, guys. I'm going to talk politics for just a minute. I've never seen anything like what's going on. Now, Donald Trump has gone scorched earth. Have you noticed that? He is now back to his old self. And he's calling Bill and Hillary criminals. He's talking about how the system is rigged. And they are doing everything they can to keep him off. Now, I want to give homage right now to every tinfoil hat person that's ever lived. WikiLeaks is proving the tinfoil hat guys were right. You guys, are you following that, guys? Are you following it? All that stuff they said were conspiracy theories, Benghazi, rigged interviews, rigged debates, cheating, the Clinton Foundation. It's all true. Did you see the latest one that came out last night? They have a direct link now that Judge Antonin Scalia was murdered. Have you guys seen that one? It's in the emails. And so the more and more that you just look around at what's going on, guys, you come to the realization that this is a rigged game. This is a rigged game. And that's what I wrote about yesterday. The whole Republican-Democrat Hegelian dialectic, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, it's phony. It's absolutely phony. When we get into the Hegelian dialectic here. Well, let's do that right now, Sarge. JR is not with us this morning, but I know he's listening out there somewhere. Folks, listen, we make a mistake when we assume other people know what we know. And remember when I first heard somebody talking about the Hegelian dialectic, I couldn't even, didn't make any sense to me at all. But it is how the enemy is controlling us. It's how they're controlling us. And Kevin's going to explain this a little bit. I'll make it real clear. It's called thesis. Thesis is an idea. And then antithesis is a position. And then the antithesis is the opposite position. All right? So what they try to do is somebody takes a position, and then somebody takes another position, and the purpose of that is to move people to the middle. I'll give you an illustration. Smoking cigarettes. That'd be a good way to start, right? So somebody came out a long time ago and said, let's ban smoking. And the people over here said, no way, no way. We're never going to ban smoking. We're never going to ban it. And then finally somebody says, well, okay, well, hey, how about if we ban it in public schools? And these people say, okay, we'll ban it in public schools, but we're not going to ban it everywhere. So now we move. Here's our position now. And then these guys sneak back over here. Said, well, hey, what about banning cigarette smoking? We still think it ought to be banned, but we don't want to ban it everywhere. How about we ban it in restaurants? Okay, okay. Well, we can live with banning it in restaurants. All right, we'll live. Do you see how our position has moved? That's what goes on with the Hegelian dialectic. And folks, that is our political system. Republicans, Democrats, constantly moving left. I wrote in the commentary yesterday, hey, Rich, you think John the Baptist could get elected today? Would the Christians support John the Baptist? No, no. Because John the Baptist, they would... John the Baptist would be over here yelling about sin, no sin, no sin. And Joel Osteen would over here be yelling, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And what would happen? Well, eventually, John the Baptist would end up over here and Jesus loves everybody. But here's the problem. John the Baptist wouldn't move, see? He wouldn't move. And Joel Osteen wanted him to move and he wouldn't move. So what'd they do to him? Clop, clop, he gone. So if you don't move, they demonize you, imprison you, and cut off your head. You don't have to believe it's the truth. Did anybody but me see that Franklin Graham said yesterday at a rally that if Hillary Clinton, if Donald Trump is not elected, Christians better get ready for FEMA camps. Did anybody see him say that? Franklin Graham said that. If we don't elect Donald Trump, Franklin Graham said, we better get ready for FEMA camps, prison camps, he called them. Tinfoil hat, anybody? Tinfoil hat? See, it's a tinfoil hat till it fits your head. And then it isn't a tinfoil hat anymore. So I was rattling on there. Sarge, I'm going to take a little bit of time and kind of unwrap that Hegelian dialectic so people will understand what we're talking about. Folks, please, 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 please. This has been in operation for 80 years. This has been going on in America for 80 years, right? 80 years. 80 years. Ten Commandments, get them. Let's get the Ten Commandments off the wall, out of the hearts of the kids. All right. Now it's the Ten Commandments off the wall. Okay, now it's Ten Commandments anywhere in public. And what's our public position now? And what do conservatives want to do? See, conservatives, they just want to hold this position. That's all they want to do, but you can't hold it. No, you can't hold. You're either going forward or you're going back, see. They called me the other day, by the way, the Christian Taliban. Hey, anybody else in the Christian Taliban other than me? Huh? I'm there. Right Wing Watch, I'm there. Young Turks, I'm there. That other thing that Dylan watches, that sissy little young people, I'm there. I'm there. I believe Jesus is Lord of all. I believe that. I believe Jesus is above our government. One nation under God. I still believe that. I still believe that. And I believe his precepts ought to apply. And I believe if the precepts of Jesus applied in America today, America would be a lot better place. I'm not ashamed to say that. Bring it on, Young Turks. Hey, they took one of my videos yesterday. Hey, Sink Unger, or whatever your name is, Sink. Thanks, man. You brought 58,000 views to that YouTube video. God bless you, Sink. Thank you. Because see, I'm gonna be salt and light. I'm gonna take the salt to that lost world. And even though those God haters out there are laughing and calling us names, I'm promising you that little seed got through to somebody because God's word never returns void, but it always accomplishes that which we sent it to do. So thank you. Thank you, Right Wing Watch, for spreading the gospel. Thank you, Sink Unger, for spreading the gospel. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that Reddit. That's what it is, Roger, that other sissy thing. Thank you. Okay, Sarge, let's kick him in the soft spot again here today.
Yeah, the dialectic coach is right, but it's actually older than 80 years. It goes all the way back to the days of Plato, Socrates, and Aristotle.
Quit showing off.
Yeah, the modern part of this is the fact that in the 1800s, there was a guy named Hegel out of Germany who was a philosopher who kind of changed it a little bit, modernized it. And if you go right down to after the words thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, you'll see that Hegel used this idea of abstract, negative, and concrete. And same thing that the coach was saying, you know, a position is the abstract. The totally opposite would be the negative, and the concrete becomes sort of the middle ground or the incremental change to get you to some place that you need to go.
So in other words, guys, keep in mind two positions diametrically opposed to each other, and watch how Hegel has taught us to compromise and bring those two positions together.
Right, and how we look at it from a more modern day perspective is the perfect line here is from Rahm Emanuel. You never let a serious crisis go to waste. I think we can all remember when he said that. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things you think you could not do before. So the dialogue.
Could you give me an example? Could you give me an example of something they can do?
I'm going to the go to the next page, Jared, where it says the examples. And here's a very, very good, interesting one. Natural law and legal positivism, evolution, atheism, constitution, moral absolutes, natural law. And we can all put that in one nutshell words, God present in our world or in our cosmos.
That's a thesis. That's one side of it. God's in control.
Correct. The antithesis would be a new untruth that we put into the thinking of man is evolution, atheism. And that it is better than an old truth or an old natural law, which means there is no God. Okay,
so we got a God and there is no God. Those are the two positions.
Right. So what we do is they move people from those two positions through this blending that says natural law, morality, and original intent are dead, and only a living or evolving constitution can rule over a progressive socialist society in modern times.
God, let me stop you, Sarge. Guys, do you get that? Do you understand that? They made the Constitution, which is written down on paper so that we could read it, like the Bible is written down in paper so we can read it. They made it a living, evolving document. Go ahead, Sarge.
Which means it can be changed because people want to change. So if you are of the persuasion of being a leftist, a Marxist, a socialist, a Darwinist, a liberal, or a progressive, you use this dialectic process to undermine anywhere and however you can and deconstruct God. You deconstruct truth. You deconstruct realism. And then upon its ashes, and this is where the Theosophy Society of Blavatsky from the late 1800s comes into play, which sort of morphed into our current New Age thinking. And that is we move to this idea of the Übermensch or the Superman or man as God. And that goes right back to the original lie in the garden, ye shall be as gods. And that message is over 2,000 years old. It hasn't changed.
Sarge, that's why they're dumbing down our children in schools. That's why they've quit teaching them. Someone just wrote up there, they don't even teach cursive anymore, so we won't be able to read those old manuscripts. They don't even teach history. They don't even teach the Constitution, because the next generation has come along, all of that information will be removed from their thinking. You just go to a public school, or like we just did at Reddit, Roger, all those young kids, we're in a world of hurt, because they do not have a God-centric worldview. They do not. And unless we spread the gospel of Jesus, this other side is going to become, we're going to be a secular society. We're almost there anyway. Hey, Sarge, I'm sorry I keep interrupting. You're doing a great job.
Good.
The teacher in me, I hear questions out there just kind of through my head, you know? Go ahead.
Yeah, and if any of you are either former teachers or have teachers in your families, there is a free download on the internet called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. It's by a lady that actually lives here in Southern Maine. And it's fairly lengthy and long, but it's well-researched. And she will show you how the foundational approach, everything that Dewey introduced into the public school system all the way back from the late 20s and early 30s, using the Russian school model of a non-godlike system, was put into place, and it was all supported by all the big foundations like Carnegie, Rockefeller, ad nauseum.
Hey, Sarge, we just saw in the WikiLeaks that they're still doing it.
Oh, absolutely.
John Podesta said, we want to keep them ignorant. We want to keep them dumbed down. We saw it in the WikiLeaks that just came out. So see, they have grabbed our children in our schools. And because they're in our schools, they're teaching children things that are diametrically opposed to what you're teaching in your home. Yes. And they got 7.5 hours a day. And unless you're a good, strong parent, they're going to steal your kids.
And that's why you actually see across this country right now, at least in Christian families, such a significant rise in homeschooling. Because
that's why they want mandatory public schools. Exactly. They want mandatory public schools. Yep. See, those homeschoolers are a danger to them because they're not drinking the Kool-Aid. Sorry, Sarge. Go ahead.
Yep. And not to divert, but one more thing about the school side of the house. And that's why you got to be also very careful with this idea of charter schools. Because most people don't realize under charter school development, there is no local school board. Okay? People who are selected, they're not elected. They're selected to serve on these committees that oversee charter school development. Well, guess what? You lose all total community control of a charter school because it's not an elected board that you can take off when they don't do what should be done in terms of school curriculum and development.
In Ohio, there's a movement right now for the Fordham Institute to take over all monitoring of charter schools. And here Kasich is a closet something, but Sarge, this Queer. Is an example in Ohio right now. They have removed people that were pro-charter from the Ohio Education Association. They're bringing in an institute that is anti-charter to control it or probably to eliminate it.
Well, there's definitely some issues there. So you have to stay on top of it, do some research on your own.
Why do you think they want our kids, huh? They want
Remember what Hitler said. What did Hitler say? Give me your young for 4 years?
Give me a generation and I'll give you communism.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to skip the next one. You can read it on your own, The Sacredness of Life, but go to the third bucket where it says terrorism is under control as the proposition here. The antithesis was we have an event, okay, that says, wow, I guess terrorism is not under control because we have 9/11.
So let me stop you, Sarge. Okay, folks, here's the position. Terrorism's under control, okay? And here's the other end. The liberties are going to be eroded through the Patriot Act. So here we are. We don't need any protection. We're okay. And no, we need the government to protect us. So how do they make this come together?
So you have this huge event that occurs by, you know, these terrorists on 9/11. And if you look at the voting or the legislative process, typically on any bill in Congress, any best bill at best might take at least a 2-year process to go through committee to actually be turned into law. And if you go look and see how quickly both the Patriot Act and the creation of the TSA actually occurred, you will find out that those were both done in under a 6-month window. That never happens in Washington, D.C. I know.
They've been working on it before that, right, Sergeant?
They had the legislation, the proposed legislation already drafted so that they could insert it into the system. So all of a sudden, now you have a Patriot Act that limits freedoms, and then you have this new infraction or infiltration into the Transportation Security Administration, which says we're now going to limit and control your freedoms of movement on how you're going to be treated when you go through an airport.
Okay, and so let me jump in here for the slow learners, Sarge. Here's what we have. Let's use the term conservatives, constitution, whatever names they give us, right? Liberty, liberty, liberty. And what do we have over here? Safety, 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 safety. And so what do? They give us 911, and now they say, okay, do you want liberty or do you want safety? Which one do you want? And where are we, fellas? Where are we? Where are we? And so they're heading towards gun control. Make no mistakes about it. They're going to disarm you. That's the direction this whole thing is heading. Sorry, Sarge. It's just you're doing a great job, man.
Very good. Now, the next thing that I haven't written down, but I want you to think outside this box about this concept, think about the return of the Antichrist. What does the Antichrist do? case based on the last comment Coach just made. He puts in a treaty, because what happens when there's chaos and we want order out of chaos? The first thing we're going to do is raise our hand and say, yes, give us this treaty. Bring peace back, because we don't want killing anymore. Okay.
All that, we are saying, is give peace a chance.
Exactly. Okay. That's another dialectic. All right. Music. So now, the next one, America was built on legal immigration by legal immigrants. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. That's the position for immigration. But the antithesis says, oh, Congress, we must immediately pass the amnesty bill granting 30 million Hispanics and their relatives perpetual membership in the Democratic Party. Well, that's a pretty hard sell, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Most people aren't going to go for that. Well, hey, what's the synthesis then? We'll just move you all to this position. The self-destruction of the Republican Party will be complete, making America officially a one-party socialist dictatorship. And if you are a globalist and you're going to move this country, which is the Alamo, it's the last stand for the world, you got to move this country to one process if you think the rest of the world is going to go to a one-world religion, a one-world political system with a one-world economy.
Okay,
does that make sense?
Sarge, a good teacher would stop right now and say, is there any questions? Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Exactly.
Everybody seeing what's going on here? You can take, listen, just take Hillary and Trump. Just take Hillary and Trump, right? They're calling it Republican Democrat, and they're trying to do what? They're trying to get Hillary. If they had Jeb Bush and Hillary, they would be two false sides, and they would eventually get right where they want to. Trump won't move. Can't you see it? Trump won't move. They're calling him names. They're doing it. He won't move. They want globalism. Let's make America great again. And he ain't going to move. And they're doing everything they can to move him. And he isn't moving. That's what's going on. Go ahead, Sarge.
And it was very telling in the last couple of days where they've been reporting out Hillary's comments about her speech to a couple of bankers, I think up in Canada, where she talked about open borders, open trade. And the fact that she wants to move everybody to a global agenda. And if anybody listened to the little tape, that it's amazing to me that Larry Nichols only had 100 hits on YouTube on this little video that he made, which he was speaking directly to Trump. He said, look, he says, if she wins, I'm going to tell you exactly what she's looking for. Her aspirations are not just to be the president of the United States. She wants to be president or in charge of this entire economic region that they're going to create under this global establishment.
Hey guys, would you guys like to have Larry Nichols come on our show? You guys know who Larry Nichols was? He was the Clinton insider. Yeah. I think I could get Larry to come on our show. I think I could. Would you be interested in hearing that? Okay. Well, I'll see if we can't arrange that. Okay. Hey, listen, hey guys, This Hegelian dialectic, it's used everywhere. Look at what they've done. Look at what they've done to Christianity. Look at it. From John the Baptist to Joel Osteen. Come on. John the Baptist would be thrown out of the church. He would be thrown out. In fact, what happened to him? He lost his head. If Joel Osteen and John the Baptist were to run for president of the United States today, who would get elected? Joel Osteen would get elected, right? Because they've changed, they've moved Christianity. They've used this dialect. Who are you to judge? See, judge not, to who are you to judge? All of that stuff. So this is happening all around us. The devil has a plan. And what's the Christian's plan? The rapture. Yes or no? That's our plan. You have pastors supporting public schools. We'll say that again. Pastors supporting public schools. Can anybody on this queue, I'm going to give you plenty of time here. Can anybody on this queue give me one redeeming value of the public schools? I'll wait a minute.
Well, you're doing public schools is redeeming. Call them what they are, government indoctrination center.
Okay. Give me one redeeming quality. Roger, you got a redeeming quality of the government schools? I know what it is, a good science education, a good math education, good history education. Go ahead, Raj. You're muted.
You have it all wrong. Nobody on Friday nights makes a better taco salad for me to buy than the public schools.
At the football game, huh?
At the football
game. That's it,
sir. Nobody. You got, nobody.
Hey, Roger, I'll mark that one up. You got that one right.
Free lunches.
Free lunches? Well, you understand there is no redeeming value. If you sat your pastor down and you asked him to give you one redeeming value of the public schools, do you know what his answer would be? I'm going to tell you what it is. Salt and light.
Yeah.
And who's getting salted and who's getting lighted? It ain't the Christians. The Christians are losing their faith in the public schools. But the dialectic has worked so good. See, now here's the problem, the way the dialectic is working so good. The public schools are good because everybody in the daggone church works for them. Bus driver, hall monitor, cook, teacher, teacher's aide. Everybody works for the schools. So they've done a great job. I was thinking yesterday, any government employee at any level should not be able to vote. Would anybody be for that one? Any government employee should not be able to vote because they're getting money from the public till. Go ahead, Sarge.
Actually, I was done. I'm now waiting for you to jump in and say this is a good transition over to the Jezebel.
This is a great transition. Do you guys understand this? Do you have a better understanding now of what's called the Hegelian dialectic? Thesis, antithesis, idea, opposite idea. And they come to what they call synthesis, which is agreement, idea, anti-idea, tolerance. That is where they're trying to move everybody.
Yeah, and we've got two documents over on our new group page that you can download for further in-depth. Thanks to J.R. Harrison for one of them, and the sheet you just saw was the second one that we have
okay.
up. So.
Okay, baby, here we go. Let's go to Jezebel. Hey, Jared, let's go to that link that says stuff. And then let's click on the first one, Jared, that says the story of Ahab and Jezebel. No, that's hey, Roger. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm here.
There we go. This is going to kind of be our Bible study, okay? Okay, bud. Let's just read down this together. What's the story of Ahab and Jezebel, okay? Here's the answer. King Ahab and Queen Jezebel served as leaders of the northern kingdom of Israel during a time of much evil in the land. King Ahab was a Jewish king who married a Syrian woman named Jezebel. In other words, a stranger. And became involved in worshiping Baal, devil worship, the god of her people. Ahab built a house to Baal in the capital city of Samaria and made an Asherah pole as a tool of pagan worship. Ahab did, okay? So in other words, Ahab gets influenced by his wife. She brings in a different religion. We're told that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who went before him. This is in 1 Kings 16:13. So Jezebel was likewise known for her evil actions. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Syrians. In her marriage to Ahab, her first recorded action was cutting off the heads of the prophets of the Lord. Obadiah, a God-fearing officer in Ahab's court, noted that Jezebel killed many prophets, despite Obadiah's efforts to save them. Has it not been told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water? That's 1 Kings 18:13. So he sees what's going on. Obadiah sees what's going on, and he tries to hide the prophets because Jezebel is killing the prophets. Don't miss that. Jezebel is killing the prophets. It was during the time of Ahab and Jezebel that Elijah was a prophet in Israel. Satan had his couple on the throne, Jezebel and Ahab, they were on the throne. But God had his man in the field, performing miracles and leading a revival against Baal worship. The 3.5-year drought that Elijah prayed for was part of God's judgment on the wickedness of its nation and its leaders. God judges nations, by the way. So when Elijah came and confronted Ahab near the end of the drought, the king said to Elijah, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" You see, but Ahab had it wrong. Elijah was not the one bringing trouble on the land. The prophet corrected the king. "I've made no trouble for Israel, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals." That's 1 Kings 18:18. And after Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal and had them killed at Mount Carmel, Jezebel issued a death threat against him. Jezebel did. It's not even her authority. So the queen went on to plot against Naboth, the innocent owner of a vineyard that Ahab coveted. Ahab wanted this field, and Jezebel's going to go out and get it for him. So Jezebel, there she is, had Naboth killed so that the king could steal the land. She prodded her husband into many other wicked acts and victories. Jezebel is the power behind the throne, a woman. And not only a woman, an interloper. She's not even one of the members of the tribe, okay? This was none who sold himself to do what is right in the sight of the Lord, like Ahab, whom Jezebel, his wife, incited. So Jezebel is controlling Ahab. Never miss this point. In order for Jezebel to operate, there must be an Ahab. In other words, a weak man that allows a woman to be in control. Somebody say amen. I know a few of those, but I'll get on to this. So Ahab's death was predicted by the prophets Elijah and Micah. And Jezebel's gruesome death was also predicted by Elijah. And true to the prophecy, Ahab was killed in a battle with Syria. Later, Jezebel was thrown from a tower, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and they trampled on her. That's 2 Kings 9:33. Then when they went to bury her, they found no more of her than a skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. Why? Because the dogs had eaten Jezebel. Now look, in Revelation 2:20, Jezebel's reputation still lives on. In the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks directly to the spirit of Jezebel. Look at this. In Revelation 2:20, Jezebel's reputation lives on as Jesus speaks to the church at Thyatira. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat foods sacrificed to idols. That's right out of the book of Revelation. Jezebel is still alive, boys. Woman's name in Thyatira was probably not really Jezebel, but her immorality and her idolatry and preying upon God's people was very Jezebel-like. But both Ahab and Jezebel were leaders of God's people who forsook the Lord and served other gods. The royal couple earned a reputation for sin and violence, and they both suffered death as part of God's judgment on their actions. That's the story of Ahab and Jezebel. Now, listen, guys, girls, here's how the Jezebel spirit, two things I want you to remember. Jezebel spirit usurps authority. Jezebel spirit takes authority that does not belong. I hate to use the term her because the Jezebel spirit is not always a woman. The Jezebel spirit is someone who usurps the power of the person who is actually in authority. Now, let's stop right here. Who's running the White House? You think Obama's running the White House? Obama's Ahab. He's the guy who appears to be the king. But who's running the White House? Probably, what's her name? Jarrett? Valerie Jarrett? Probably Michelle Obama. Who did they say ran the Clinton White House? Anybody know who ran the Clinton White House? We know who ran the Clinton White House. Hitler, right? And so we look around. Hey, come on, fellas. We're big boys here. Look at the church. Have the men of God in the church had their power usurped by feminine Christianity or not? Hey, Jared. This is what ticks you off so daggone much. Everywhere we look, Jezebel has usurped authority that does not rightly belong to her. Please don't miss this. Jezebel is not always a woman. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of Jezebel. Questions right there while we move to the next one. Anybody?
Yeah, Coach. What seems to happen too is I see it because I see it around my friends. The woman wants to feel that she has a certain level of capacity and ability to be part of the decisions or be the decision maker, and holding out on, you know, the friendliness and the sexual intimacy is used as the stick to control them, to control the man.
Yes. Hey, awesome. Is that you, sir? Whoever said that, it dwells in the sodomite sea to override the natural use of a man and a woman. It's everywhere we look. I had a guy yesterday. I'll get you a second, Raj. I had a guy yesterday emailed me. He says, oh, yeah, coach, you think women shouldn't be in authority? What if a woman owns a business? Should the people who work for her follow her? I said, well, why doesn't her husband own the business? Right? See, we can't see what's going on. Why doesn't the husband own the business? And then the husband comes in and says to the workers, hey, listen to my wife. She has my authority. Do you understand the difference? The husband yields the authority to the wife, but he is still the ultimate authority. How can a woman own a business? How can she? It's the same thing I said about women pastors. Is the woman the pastor of her husband in the church? And then when they go home, is she the pastor of the husband and the family? Or is he head of the family? It's all screwed up, see? It's all screwed up. Roger wanted to jump in here, then Jared. Go ahead, Roger. You're muted.
When we're in the huddle, I think we all should be looking for our unique opportunities to challenge and to speak up. You know, some have a bigger platform than others, but I think there is one platform I hear routinely. Well, let me check with the wife, or let me check with all that crap. And I think right? Each of us there, we all need to look for our little battlegrounds for victory. And what I do whenever I hear that, I will pull the man aside. I try not to embarrass him and pull him inside. Now, really, who is running your house? And do you understand that responsibility is yours? And they all kind of look at you dumbfounded and, oh, I'm just joking. No, you're not joking.
No, they're not joking. No.
And I think we look for little areas that we can have influence. And when you see that man in church and they joke about, don't let that slide. Don't let that slide. Go back to him in a caring manner, but firm manner, and tell him, no, you are the leader of your family.
You let him know you noticed. You let him know you noticed. So don't you wear the pants in your family, Roger?
Yeah.
Oh, your wife bossing you around here now? That's all right? That's
those are the little battlegrounds we all can participate in.
Amen. Jared?
People need to understand, men, not people, men need to understand, and women need to understand, but they may not be capable of it, is that God gave men the authority. It's spiritual gravity. You can deny its existence. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It exists. It exists whether you believe it or not, whether you're a Christian or not, whether whatever. It is the way the world works.
And Jared, go ahead. Keep going. You're doing great. Hey, Jared, listen. That's why they're trying to call God a woman now. Right? They're trying to. How about this one? Mother Nature. Find that in the scripture for me. Find that in the scripture for me. See, they're trying to, it's nothing. Satan tried to usurp the power of God. That's all it is. That's all it is. And they are usurping the power of the system the way God set it up. Now, listen, my wife and I, you all know we're selling a house, trying to sell a house, or many of you do. We had an offer to the house. I just didn't put the hammer down. I said, this is what we're doing. I went and I took my wife's wisdom. I listened to her. We made a group decision, but when the decision had to be made and we disagreed, I had to make the decision. I had to make it. Somebody has to make the decision. And we don't always do that. Somebody talk for a minute, Jared, because I'm going to send you something that I want you to put up on the screen. Somebody weigh in here.
Hey, I just was going to say, it's even worse than what you were just saying, Coach, with regards to trying to make Jesus or God as a woman. There, the whole New Age movement is trying to say, well, we need to move towards this singularity where it's a cosmic Christ that is androgynous. There is no difference between the yin and the yang, or the male and the female.
That's right.
so you got to be very careful, because they're trying to take the manliness out of the fact that when God walked on this earth, when he walked in the garden, he walked, not an androgynous.
And the Jezebel spirit was present in the garden, right? All Adam had to do was step up and say to Eve, stop that. Stop that, Eve. And say to Satan, hey, quit messing with my wife, will you? Get out of here, dude. And we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be here. But the Bible says, if you read it closely, okay, let's do that. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Go to Genesis real quick, Jared. I think it's important for us to see this. I'm still looking here. Genesis, where did Adam fall? 6? No, Genesis 3. This blew my mind when I saw this. Let's go to Genesis 3, verse 12. I'm sorry. Let's go to, verse 6. Genesis 6, 6. Watch this. I thought that the devil came in and deceived Eve, that Adam was off playing football or something, playing golf, and Eve was just kind of hanging out, and the devil snuck in and got her. Look at this, Genesis 6, 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband who was with her. He's standing right there watching the fall. Right there it is. Start of it. So what's going on in America is the usurpation of manhood. Manhood in the church. See, homosexuality is nothing more than the Jezebel spirit trying to steal the manhood from the male. We see it everywhere we look. And what's the spirit of the world? What's the spirit of the age? Are you allowed now to call people male and female and him and her? And no, that stuff's all being changed right in our very midst. Somebody jump in. I'm still looking for what I had. I can't believe I canceled it. I had it here this morning.
And then they have their mouthpieces. Anybody see Miley Cyrus's recent announcement?
Oh my goodness, huh?
She doesn't want to be, she's just going to love whatever comes in front of her.
Yep. That's it.
Well, for all you people out there, all you guys out there who don't go to church anymore, you know, this is why. This very reason is why. Because we're told you have to change who you are, man, to be a Christian. You have to turn into a woman to be a Christian. And right. We're here to tell you that's wrong. Christianity gives you your balls back.
Amen. You weren't supposed to have lost them in the first place. Right? We weren't supposed to have lost them in the first place, but we did lose them. We did lose them. I'm trying to find this thing, and I just saw it this morning, and I can't. I must have got rid of it. Anyway, so that's what's going on everywhere we look in society. The usurpation. Now, Jezebel spirit is a spirit. It's a spirit. Please understand that. It's a spirit. And all of it comes down to the fact that, for the most part, all of us want to shirk responsibility. Now, we don't want to shirk responsibility if it's something that's pleasing. You want to go on vacation to Hawaii, or do you want to go to the Bahamas? I'll decide, honey. I'll make the plans. Something like that. We love authority. But when authority becomes controversial or whatever, nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. It's like at some point, guys, somebody's got to grab the flag and run up the hill. Ain't nobody likes to do that, see? And if we're not careful, when we hesitate, we're lost, and we grab the flag, and somebody says, hey, some man says to his wife, honey, I ought to go say something about that. And what does the wife say?
Today's Friday.
No, honey, no. Okay. So there the man loses his authority. It's everywhere. Throughout the scripture. If Admiral Rickover, I'm trying to find it, said, I'll get it ready for Friday, Monday. Listen, I got a lot more stuff up here, but we're not going to have time to get to it today. Somebody help me here. Somebody help bring this thing on. We got about 6 minutes left. Anything on your heart? Chad Estes says we're smoking them. We are smoking them today, Chad. Thanks, man. Telling them the truth. There's Jezebels at work in your house, boys. Let me throw this one at you. We take our children. Think about this. Black community. At least 70% of the children in the black community don't have a daddy. At least 70% do not have a father. So we send them to public school where 80% at least of the teachers are women. Now the numbers would be higher than that, except there are some men up in the upper grades. High school, there are men. Middle school, there are men. But elementary school teachers who are male are about 90%. So we got a boy who doesn't have a daddy at home, and he's under the authority of mommy. And he goes to school, and he's under authority of women. And if he gets in trouble, he goes and sees the principal, and the principal's probably a woman. And so gradually, a little boy gets out of trouble. A little boy begins to act like a little boy in school. And what do the women do? They want him to act like a little girl. They drug him. We've got women. Boy, I bet Sinkunger's watching this one. We've got women trying to teach little boys how to be men. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do it. Hey, Jared, see if you can find it real quick. The cover of a women's magazine. What did I say it was yesterday? Somebody help me out here. I talked about it yesterday. Oh, my brain used to be snap. Cover Girl. Thank you. Thank you. Jared, find that real quick. Cover of Cover Girl. Watch what they are doing to us. There, look at this. Flash that up there. There is the cover of Cover Girl magazine this month. That's a boy. That's a boy. That's a boy. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You ever notice this? I did. The homo boys love to hang with the girls. And the girls love to hang with homo boys. Why? Because the homo boys is compliant. Oh, there it is. Admiral Rickover. Remember him, don't you? They'd throw him out of the service today. He said this: responsibility is a unique concept. You may share it with others. Responsibility we're talking about. You may share it with your wife, but your portion is not diminished. You may delegate it, but it's still with you. If responsibility is rightfully yours, no evasion or ignorance or passing the blame can shift the burden to someone else. Unless you can point your finger at the man who is responsible when something goes wrong, then you have never had anyone really responsible to begin with. Can anybody say Benghazi? Can anybody say White House? Can anybody say that, huh? Yeah, that's true. She said not all sodomites like women. They do not like strong Holy Spirit filled women. That is for sure. We're going to dive in. I got a lot more on this, but chew on that this weekend. And if you happen to wander into one of those places they call church, you just look around. You just look around. You think about in your house when it's time to put the kids in bed. Dad, do you go in and pray a manly prayer over your children, or do you send mommy in? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I should die before I wake. I pray the Lord my soul to take. Night, mommy. Night, mommy. Night, mommy. Now they got the NFL wearing pink socks for breast cancer, when the leading cause of breast cancer in America is abortion. Put that one in your pipe and smoke it, my friends. They won't tell you that one. They won't tell you that one. Yes, sir. They're gonna have them on high heels. That's gonna be the next thing. They're gonna be playing football in high heals. The Jezebel spirit is at work all around you, in your church, in your home, at your job. It is ever present, fellas, and we need to wake up to what's going on. Who was that, Larry? Some jumping
in? Yeah, I got a question. All those pink socks and gloves and pink this and everything around, not just football, but everywhere. How much of that pink actually helped research toward cure for breast cancer? Did any of those sock companies give money to the Breast Cancer Society or anything like that?
No. I doubt it. Hey, Larry, not only that, how many of those guys playing football aborted their baby? How many of those guys playing football out there, how many of them have fathered children and don't even parent them? See, we have to put women up on this pedestal. Why don't they have a testicular cancer day? Why aren't women wearing jock straps to honor men who have testicular cancer? Wake up to what's going on around us. God bless you. We'll see you Monday morning.